We're looking at the subject of burial or this evening. We'll look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 3 and see that burial is an intricate part of the gospel. He says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. A lot of times you'll hear people say that burial was just something that was put in there as a sort of a by-the-way thing. But whenever you look at the grave, whenever you look at burial in the Scriptures, I was going through the mentions of buried and bury and the grave and such as that, you find out that there's more significance to the grave than you thought. There's more significance to burial than you thought. It seems that God gives some respect to the human body. When you go through the Scriptures and you see ones who are buried, it's almost a sign of respect, but you'll see ones who are not buried, ones who are left to rot on the ground as a sign of disrespect. So God has given some kind of respect to the human body, it seems, and I think we take for granted burial in this country, and we probably should be thankful that we have the facilities to bury our loved ones like we do. We just take that for granted like we do everything else here. But God's given us a country where we can do something that is a sign of respect to our loved ones. Ruth said in Ruth 1:17, where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. What did that do when Ruth made that statement? We remember that Ruth was a Moabitess, and she was not to enter into the congregation of the Israelites. No Moabitess was supposed to come in, no Moabite. So she was out of the camp. And yet Ruth over here in Moab says to Naomi, she says, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Let me ask you this evening, if you were to die today, where would you want to be buried? Would you want to be buried near your loved ones? Would you want to be buried near your family, if it was possible? I think that most people do. I think if it's possible, you'd like to be buried near your family if you really got along with your family. You would like to be buried next to your wife, or maybe if you've lost a child, next to your child. And it shows really where your heart is. It shows what was important to you. And Ruth told Naomi, where you are buried, I want to be buried. And it showed that Ruth had a heart for Naomi. And not only that, but she would end up with a heart for God and a heart for the people of God. But I think just that very statement of Ruth shows us her heart was no longer with the Moabites. It was with the Lord and with His people. It was with Naomi. Joseph, let's look at Genesis 49, is another good example of being buried and it's showing where your heart is. We're all familiar with the story of Joseph. We know that he was one who had a powerful position in Egypt. He could have had any kind of burial that he wanted. He could have been buried in a pyramid had he chosen to. I'm sure he was second only to Pharaoh. He could have received the Egyptian burial, which up to the day is still considered the best preservation system that there is. They still say that the Egyptians had the best system of preserving the human body that there is. I was watching a special on television the other night, and they took a mummy from, I believe it was from Egypt, and they were using that mummy's body. It was so well preserved that they could actually check and see what had happened to that body, what kind of diseases it had, what kind of sicknesses it had, that person had, and all this by checking with the body hair, with the bone, with the flesh. So it wasn't that Joseph was choosing the best form of burial, because the best form of burial was in Egypt. The biggest form of burial was in Egypt. they were in the process of, at, around this time of building the pyramids. This would have been the beginning of the pyramids. Just at Joseph's time and a little after was when we hear of the pyramids really being built and these pharaohs begin to come to power. Joseph being underneath one of the pharaohs. And he says in Genesis 49:29, Joseph says, and he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abram and Sarai his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his son, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered into his people. Well, I gave you the wrong name here. But here, Jacob gathers up his feet and he says, here's where I want to be buried. I want to be buried with Abraham. I want to be buried with Isaac. I want to be buried with Leah. In this field that Abraham purchased, where? In Canaan. In the land of promise. You remember that when we were going through Hebrews, it says that they looked for a place whose builder and maker was God. And God had given them a promise of this land. But Joseph also, what did he do? He gave commandment concerning his bones that when the children of Israel would come back into the land, his bones would be carried back in. And that showed where his heart was. With all that power and with all that position, I'm sorry I left that out of my outline here. With all that power and all that position, he still desired to be buried back in the land of his fathers. That's where his heart was. And it showed that his heart was with God. Not only does burial where you're buried show where your heart was in life, it also shows respect and position. Now, I didn't take the time to put down all the references here or even any of them, but if you'll go back and run through the book of Kings and Chronicles and those books, you'll find that the kings were buried in the tombs of their fathers. That those kings who were highly respected and even some who were not so highly respected because of their position and because of their power were buried in the tombs of their fathers. And it was a place that showed a respect of the person or the position of the person. Now, for some of those under God's judgment, this respect was rejected. Listen to what he says in Jeremiah 16:4. They shall die of grievous death. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried. But they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them. Well, I'll leave off there, and we'll go down to verse 18 of chapter 22. Thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, or Ah, my sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, or Ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Here we see two instances where ones would die, and he said their bodies will be left out like dung on the face of the earth. It would be a show of great disrespect, a show of the judgment of God, that their bodies would be left to rot on the ground. And it's interesting, not only they, but here Josiah, he said he'll be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem, most likely down into the valley of Hinnom. Body cast on the trash heap. Now I know, and it means nothing to me, what happens to me when I die. I've always told Tammy, put me in a pine box and bury me 6 feet under, or if you can't, put me somewhere. But really, pine boxes are too expensive to get put in today. If you look at them, so put that out of your mind. But I never really had any thought of, you know, when you go to a funeral, and this is one thing that the funeral homes really have, is that the people that really love their people, that really love their parents, or that really love their children, they want to do everything they can to make that the best possible funeral, don't they? I mean, it don't matter if you're stone cold broke, you are going to put money into that funeral because of what you thought of that person. People just show respect at funerals. I've seen people land in the coffins that were not good people, and yet they were dressed nice, and yet they were laid in a nice casket, and yet they were shown respect by their people. But you see, it's a show of respect. But again, those under God's judgment sometimes didn't get this show of respect. As a matter of fact, he left their bodies out just so you could see that they were under the judgment of God. I think of people who forget God. I heard of a story out in the Philippines where an older man drowned a young boy out in the water just so he could use his body to float on. And the disrespect for the human body, that it would be nothing less to him than just to stay afloat, to stay alive on. That we would not show more respect to God's creation than that. And you know, man is the highest form of God's creation. You know what? He is the highest thing that God has created on this earth. We are what he has shown the most love to. We're the ones that Jesus Christ died for. We're the ones that the Son of God came and became a man to die for our sins so he could raise us up, so he could give us new bodies, and so we could be with him forever. We are the crowning achievement of the creation of God. We are the redeemed ones. We are the ones who God loves. And I think maybe we should show some respect in that to the human body. No man yet hated his own flesh, did he? But he nursed it and cherished it. And I think we should keep that in mind even after death. That it's something that we don't just disrespect. It's not something we disrespect. But not only does burial show respect and position, and sometimes the lack of burial, God's judgment, it shows finality, doesn't it? Which of us has not been to a funeral whenever we saw that casket laid into the ground that we didn't see the people? That was the point when the family said, no more hope. Once they start to put dirt on that casket, that's when most people have to leave, because they know there's no more hope after this point. They're gone. I can't bring them back. There's no hope of bringing them back. It's final. It's finished. You know, whenever you're in the funeral home sometimes and you're sitting there, you think, they could just get up and walk around. Have you ever thought that? And you almost think they're going to. There's been times when I was sitting and you almost get the willies because you say, they are going to get up and walk any minute. They scare me to death. But, you know, once that casket loads into that ground, you say, it's too late now. One way or the other. Once this person's buried, that is the end of it. They're not coming back. Let's look in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Here were ones who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who were in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, who were great friends with the Lord Jesus, and yet the grave to them was very final, very final. John chapter 11, let's look at verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Notice this. Martha, the sister of Lazarus, says to the Lord Jesus, if you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. I know this. And I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he'll rise again at the resurrection at the last day. She said, Jesus, it's over. He's in the grave. Jesus says, Martha, your brother will rise again. She says, I know he'll rise at the last day, but Jesus, he's in the grave. He's gone. It's over. It's final. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, he sent her away, and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Notice now he's going to bring the other sister to attention. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town that was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then that were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, they rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You see it again? Jesus, it's over. He's in the grave. It's been 4 days. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died, but it's over now. He's gone. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. What were the Jews thinking? It's over. He's dead. He's gone. Look how Jesus loved him. He's going to go visit his grave. Some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Do you see that? Everybody said, You could have saved his life. You could have kept him alive. You could have kept him out of the grave, but he's gone. He's buried, and it's over, and now you're weeping over it. You see it? They didn't have any hope because it was finalized. He was in the grave. He was wrapped up in the grave clothes. He was given the burial. Jesus, therefore, coming again, groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Listen to this. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. You're going to go in there and visit with Lazarus? Lord, he stinks. You don't want to go in there and visit with him now. I know that you couldn't make it here before now. I know that something had kept you up to this point, or I know you would have been here because you would have saved his life if there wasn't some pressing, important something. But, Lord, you don't want to go in there now. He stinks. I don't believe it was even in her mind that he was going to resurrect Lazarus because it was over. It was finished. He was buried. He was done. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they mayest believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound up about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And there's coming a day when Jesus will say the words, and those which are in the grave will arise, and they'll go to be with him. And one day Jesus will say the word, and all the dead shall rise, some to go to the judgment, some to go for reward. But our Lord and our God is the God of the resurrection. And the grave had no power. Praise God. As final as the grave was, it didn't have any power over him, did it? It's also indisputable evidence of death. Once somebody has been buried, that is indisputable evidence of death. Look at John 12:9. Much of the people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. You know, if Lazarus had have been laying in a open, they used to carry some on the carts. You remember the young man that Jesus raised from the dead on the cart. You always were left with the argument he was in a swoon. You always had the argument, well, some sickness came on him and slowed his heartbeat down to the point that nobody could tell it. And you could make all these arguments. But once Lazarus was in the tomb, once he was wrapped in the grave clothes, there was no argument to be made. And no argument was made. Have you ever seen an argument in the Bible from the Jews that Lazarus was not dead? And you will not see that argument made. And if it could be made, don't you think they would have made it? No, they wanted to kill Lazarus because he was leading people away from them to Jesus. Why? Because Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days and he was stinking and Jesus raised him from the dead. And they couldn't argue this. They said the only way we can get around this is to kill Lazarus and get him out of the way and everybody will forget. It was an indisputable evidence of death. Now let's go back to the first point that we made. Where you're buried shows where your heart was. Go with me to Mark 15:43, if you will. Mark 15:43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Verse 44. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph, and he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in the sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. Now notice where Jesus was buried. Jesus was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Let me ask you something this evening. Do you think that Jesus knew who he was choosing when he chose Joseph of Arimathea as a disciple? I think that Jesus knew exactly who he was choosing. He knew that he was choosing someone who would put him in his burial tomb. He was choosing the man who would love him so much that he would be bold enough to go before Pilate to beg the body of Jesus and to bury him in his tomb. And we said that where you're buried shows where your heart was. Where was Jesus buried? He was buried in the tomb of one of his own disciples. Where was Jesus' heart? It was with his people. And you know, even in the burial of Jesus, we see that the heart of Jesus Christ is with his people. He was buried with us. He was buried in a tomb of one of his disciples. He loves us. Joseph's desire was to be buried with his people. Jesus' desire was to be buried with his people. With you and with me, disciples of Christ. The word sepulcher, the place where he was buried, listen to what the word means. The first definition: any visible object for preserving or recalling the memory of any person or anything. A memorial. A monument. Specifically, a sepulchral monument. It was a monument to Jesus Christ. This sepulcher was a monument to Jesus Christ. This grave was. But more than that, it was a monument to the love of Jesus Christ for his people. My goodness. He loved his people so much that that man gave up a precious burial tomb to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew who loved him. It was a show of respect and position, remember we said. The tomb was, the burial. It says in Isaiah 53:9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. It says in Isaiah 53:9, in another version, he was assigned a grave with the wicked and was rich in his, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. The same thing. But think about this. He made his grave with the wicked. Where would Jesus have been buried if they had not begged his body? He'd have been buried with them two thieves. He made his grave with the wicked. But he was with the rich in his death. Listen to this one verse. In Matthew 27:57, it says, "And when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea." A rich man of Arimathea. How many times does God point out that it's a rich man? It's not very many, is it? But the Spirit of God points out that Joseph of Arimathea is the rich man of Arimathea. Named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. And then it goes on, he put him in his tomb. It says that he was made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. A rich man of Arimathea begged the body of Jesus Christ, and he was laid in the tomb of the rich man of Arimathea. What does this show us? It shows us, number one, the respect that Jesus Christ deserved. He got respect, didn't he? And it showed his position. Jesus Christ was not a rich man on the earth, but he received a rich man's burial. He received the proper respect that he deserved. He had done more than any other rich man that had ever lived. And he still has done more than any rich man that has lived since or ever will live. Solomon never touched the things that Jesus Christ did. What Solomon could buy, Jesus Christ could create. But Jesus Christ healed the hearts of mankind. We also said that the way that a person is buried shows the judgment of God or the lack thereof. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone at the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. And you know what happens with the burial of Jesus when you go to Acts chapter 2 and Peter begins to preach this message and he preaches about David and he says, "Thou hast not left my soul in hell, neither suffered thy Holy One to see corruption." Jesus Christ, in his burial, was shown the proper respect, and it shows the lack of the judgment of God on him. Jesus Christ took the judgment of God on the cross, didn't he? When he was laid in that new tomb, when he was put in that tomb and wrapped in a linen cloth, he was no longer under the judgment of God. He was now the Holy One who would not be suffered to see corruption, but would be raised from the dead before corruption could set in. He was the one who Peter would speak about and say, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." That would be the one. So it shows the lack of the judgment of God. It shows finality. It shows finality. Matthew 27 again, if you will. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 27. Let's read a few verses. I'll read verse 62 down to verse 65. "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first.' Pilate said unto them, 'You have a watch, go. Go your way, make it as sure as you can.' Verse 66, so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." They made sure it was final, didn't they? They made sure that nobody would take this body. He was dead, and he was going to stay dead, and he was going to stay in that tomb, and they sealed the tomb, and he wasn't coming out. And Pilate says, "All right, you have a watch, you have a guard, you go, and you seal this tomb. We'll seal this tomb. Nobody can break this seal, and he can't come out." It was final. Not only this, but it was indisputable evidence. We mentioned that in a while ago. Indisputable evidence of death. Turn over to Matthew 28:11. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and sold him away while we slept. And if this come to you governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this is saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. These people took their own lives into their hands, and they offer this huge sum of money to the soldiers. Now, what makes me think that this had to be a huge sum of money? Because you ain't got enough money to pay me to do what these soldiers did, because it meant instant death. If they were to go back and they were to tell that a lie, if they lost the man on their watch, number one. They lost the man on their watch, a dead man to beat off. Now they were going back and they were going to tell a lie about it. That was instant death to those soldiers. And what the Jews do is they offer these soldiers a huge sum of money. Keep in mind, too, these were Roman soldiers, and all those Roman soldiers had to do were to turn on the Jews. That's how sure these Jews were that Jesus had been in that tomb and had been dead. They were willing to risk a huge amount of money and even their lives to make sure that this word didn't get out. And not only that, but they changed the story. They give them this money and they say, you go and you tell this story that his disciples came. That's amazing. And stole him away while we slept. You didn't sleep on duty. You did not sleep on duty. What would happen to a soldier if he slept on duty? Like I said, he's taken his life into his hands, and they had bought these men and told them, and paid this huge sum of money and told them, you go tell this lie. You go tell them you fell asleep on duty. And the disciples came and stole the body away while you were asleep. Like I said, there ain't enough money. There's not enough money to make a man do that. But everybody can be bought, they say. These were bought. But this is how sure. This shows how dangerous the body of Jesus rising from the dead was to the Jews. Because what did it do? It proved once and for all he was the chosen one that had came to judge the world. Look in John chapter 5. And we're moving into resurrection now. It's just a smooth transition here. John chapter 5, verse 22. To verse 29. Jesus had said while he was alive in John 5:22, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Notice that statement. As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Now hold your place right there. I'm going to read you something in Acts. We are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. In Acts chapter 17, that's to the Jew. This is to the Gentile. Acts chapter 17, verse 31, Paul ends his message to the Athenians, to the Gentiles, to those who didn't know God, to those who were strangers from the covenants and the promises of God, he says, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, him coming out of this grave after his burial, was the seal. It was the assurance given that he was going to be the one he said he was in John chapter 5 while he was alive. They knew if this one who said while he was alive, the Father hath given me to have life in myself, just as he has life in himself, if this one who said that comes out of the grave, he proves everything that he said was true. And he proves that the same statement that he made about I have life in myself means that I will judge the world. And it was proven. And the Jews had to stop this from getting out. They had to stop this message. And that's why Jesus comes to his disciples. That's why you don't hear about him going out to everybody. He comes to his disciples and he shows them, I have rose from the dead. And that's why they say, he has shown it not to everyone, he says. He says, not to all the people, but to witnesses before chosen of God, to be witnesses of the facts of his resurrection. Now, I've got several things that have happened by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are justified by the resurrection of Christ. We are freed from the bondage of sin by his resurrection. We are enabled to and expect to live this resurrection life that we are partakers of. You see, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he rose in new life, didn't he? He rose in new life. He was sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. He died according to the flesh. He was risen according to the spirit. He was the man Jesus Christ all along. But as he rose in new life, we rose with him in new life, and he says, now you walk in it. I was in a Bible study yesterday, and I got to give the best news to somebody. I said, in Romans where it says we are dead to the law through the body of Christ, we're dead indeed under the law. I said, you know what? I said, we are dead to the law. I said, we don't have rules and regulations to follow anymore because we died. We were buried in the tomb with him. We were buried in the tomb with Jesus Christ, you and I. We were dead with him. The handwritings of ordinances which were against us, he took them out of the way and nailed them to his cross. He said that we're no longer bound by the law. We no longer have anything to do with the law. That's what he says in Romans chapter 10. The law to us is dead. We are dead to the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's the end of it. It's over. We died in that. We were buried with him. The law has no more dominion over us. Just like that woman who was married to the first husband and that husband died, she was freed from the law of that husband so that she could be married to another. And he said, and you are married to another, even to him that has risen from the dead, and now you live with him. We died with Jesus Christ. We died to the law. We died to sin. We were raised with Jesus Christ, and we live in newness of life with him. Can't you see this message had to be stopped? But I'll tell you what, it's the only hope we've got. I was reading the book of Job today, and Job was just, he was really down in the dumps, and I can see why. He was saying, you know, he said, man's just, he's a hired servant. And he's going to do what God wants him to do, and when he's done doing what God wants him to do, he's going to die, and he's going to lay in the dust, and that's going to be it. He said, but I look for the day when he's going to raise us up. And you know what? We go through hard times today, and it's miserable. And sometimes you say, I wish I could die. I wish it would end. But you know what? It's only for a short time, and we're going to see an exceeding weight of glory. We are buried with him. We are resurrected with him, and we live with him, and we will yet live with him. The world is an enemy to grace. The world is an enemy to faith. The world is an enemy to the Christian. The world is an enemy to God. But we are the children of the living God, and we live in him. Let me tell you, if you try to live by faith, you won't find anything but trials. And I'm here to tell you, that is what we run into. say, every time I say I'm going to live by faith, I'm not one up here to say I live by faith. That's bold. That is bold to say that. You say that one time. You choose something to live by faith with, and you see what happens to you tomorrow. Because Satan will not allow you to do that. The world will not allow you to do that. It will not allow you to live by faith, because faith says, I can't touch it, I can't grab it, I can't feel it, I can't have it until it's time to have it. We want everything tomorrow or today. Faith don't allow that. The world cannot see that. I got off the subject. I'm sorry. We are justified by the resurrection of Christ. We were buried with Jesus Christ. But you see how Jesus, it showed that he was accepted with God. It showed that he had a heart for his people, that he loved us. It showed his respect and his position when he went into that new tomb and was wrapped in them clean linen cloth. He wasn't buried like a criminal, was he? He was buried like a rich man. He was crucified with the criminals. And his grave was going to be with criminals, but he wasn't with the criminals in his death. He was with them. He was with the rich man in his burial. And thank God for that. Our Lord deserved a rich man's tomb, didn't he? He deserved that tomb. He deserved a memorial. But it's interesting. He couldn't have one there. That memorial didn't last. That memorial was broken open. And he came out and he rose from the dead. And that old memorial tomb, they say it's still there today, but it's empty. It's empty. Our Lord has risen. He's alive today. And he's walking in the midst of us. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you tonight that he is who he said he was. He is the resurrection and the life. And they who believe in him, though they are dead, yet they will live. Father, we thank you that we have trusted in him. And we pray, Father, tonight that you would just empower us to live this life that you've given to us. That you would give us that mind of surrender and heart of surrender that we may live it. Father, we're powerless in and of ourselves, for we say, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, with my mind I serve the law of God, and with my body the law of sin. And Lord, we pray that through the power of the Spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ, you would live out that life in us tomorrow and tonight. Father, we pray for deliverance from sin. We realize, Lord, that you got the proper respect in your burial. And Lord, we thank you that you touched the heart of Joseph of Arimathea to bring you to that tomb. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your heart was with your people in your burial. We thank you, Lord, that you rose from that grave and that you're ascended to the right hand of God and ever lived to make intercession for us. Father, we do thank you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.